Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back again to another segment of the show. This is the Ladies of Tea Talk Time. I have my beautiful co-host on the line with me, Dee Moore. And today is February the 20th. Can you guys believe it? We are already in the second month of the year, and it's almost over. It's crazy. Anyways, it's Lori. Weather-wise, I guess it's a little overcast today, but needless to say, I did get out. So I went to the gym, you know, got my little workout on, and so we're excited about this morning's topic. Last week, we had a great topic as well. What did we discuss last week, Dee?
Last week, you put me on the spot now.
Sorry.
We've had the last two shows were pretty good. Yes. The show before the show before last week, we dealt with women and men sharpen up their skills on approaching a person of the opposite sex. And a lot of times, us as women, we expect or anticipate the man to make the first move. We had quite a few callers that called in and gave their perspective, which we definitely appreciated their perspective and insight on, breaking the ice. And Stacey came up with some pretty good tactics for maybe the shy guys or discouraged guys or even women who, like me, feel that it's a man's job to approach. She came up with some pretty good table topics or icebreakers.
Right.
And some of those, I know some of those different tactics made me rethink my idea overall as far as making it known that I may have a little bit of interest in the individual. I have not tried anything yet. But it did make me look at that overall, the idea, as not as harsh as I thought it was initially.
Well, the opportunity has not come up yet for you to try out any of them, because most of them really were spontaneous things, you know, and you really have to find yourself in certain positions to have tried some of them. But they're just giving you clues, you know, like different things that most of us find ourselves in every day, you know, whether it's traveling, going to the coffee shop, business mixers, mingling while you're out and about and just, you know, striking up a conversation. So,
That was 2 weeks ago, and that was a pretty good show, as they all are. Last week we talked about body count.
Yes.
As it relates to how many people or how many partners you've had and whether or not you're open to discussing that information and whether or not it's even relevant. I think Stacey and I both agreed that at this day and age, and at if you're in over a certain age group, we're in a certain age group, what is most important is what's in the now. And the only thing about the past that is relevant is how well you may have taken care of yourself as it relates to your sexual escapades or encounters. It really doesn't matter how many times or who you've been with, how many people you've been with, if you have been responsible enough, because it only takes one.
Mm-hmm.
One time to get any type of STD. And that really should be the main concern. When you're in your 30s, and say when you started becoming sexually active, when you were, Lord forbid, in grade school, 15 or 16, that's almost 15 years if you're 30. If you're 35, you may almost have 20 years of being sexually active. So those numbers of how many people you've been with, it only takes one time to be unprotected for you to contract any type of disease. And at this age, that's something that I feel that we should be more concerned about is how responsible that individual has been. So that was our last 2 week shows. This show, Baggage Claim, I'm really excited and interested in talking about because it impacts the way we are, it can impact, excuse me, the way we love each other, the way we approach and handle certain situations. It could be the reason for our downfall or the reason as to why we don't get past a certain point in our relationship. So I'm really excited. Stacey and I both are really excited about this overall topic. And I think when we get more and more comfortable and more open about our past relationships, we can break down a lot of barriers that has stopped us from actually living fulfilled and happy lives. And that's baggages mm-hmm. from relationships. And those relationships could be from non-committed relationships. A lot of times people may have issues with their parents, and that then comes down and trickles into the relationship that they have with their significant other.
That is absolutely correct, Dee. When we first decided that we were going to talk about that, I was very excited to discuss it, but I also know that it's a sensitive topic for a lot of us because, as Dee said, a lot of us carry baggages or luggage into relationships, and those baggages or luggage, however you want to phrase it, is sometimes not necessarily from relationships that you have had, you know, whether they're long-term marriages, just, you know, flings, whatnot. It also can come from the relationships that you've had with your parents, your siblings, or other family members, you know, people that have hurt you, people that have disappointed you, people that have angered you, or, you know, people that have just been hurtful and malicious towards you, and you harbor those resentments. And you bring those resentments and those unrealistic expectations, depression, you know, fear, anxiety, all of those things into that next relationship. And you place that upon that person that you're with to unpack those things when it really isn't their responsibility to unpack all of that. It is your responsibility to unpack that before you actually enter into that relationship. So, you know, I had to, in thinking about this topic, and I've pretty much been a person that always like to do self-examination and, you know, just turn the mirror on myself a lot. And I'm open about admitting the issues and the things that I have, a lot of them, for me, doesn't really stem from relationship damages or brokenness. It's really stem from childhood brokenness. I'll be the first to tell anyone, I do know I have a tendency to have rejection issues and abandonment issues because I am adopted. So I've always felt like a part of me struggle with that, like, you know, but I had to learn to weigh my assets and my liabilities. I had to realize that God chose to give me love in a different way from my adopted family versus my biological family. But it's still there. It lingers, you know, and whenever I meet people, you know, there are certain things for me that are triggers and red flags that is like I completely put up my guard and it's not, and I don't want to deal with that. Because to me, it's a sense of an abandonment and it's a sense of rejection. And if I see any signs of anything like that, I'm ready to take the next exit. You know, and that's how I tend to handle my issues. But what I do know that I am is open about it, and I know that it's there, and I know so far what my triggers are. And I'm dealing with those. But I know for a lot of us, we don't take the time to figure out what our triggers are. We don't take the time to figure out what are the issues that we do have, what are those things that we need to unpack, what are those things that we need to address. and we don't deal with it before we enter into relationships. And a lot of it is going to probably take a lot of us years to deal with, and it doesn't mean that we cannot have healthy relationships, long-lasting relationships. I think it more boils down to you being honest with yourself, where you're at, and whoever you choose to enter that relationship with, giving that person a choice and an option that these are my issues, this is who I am, and let that person decide whether or not they can love you along with those baggages versus you going into the relationship and you putting all of that, you know, that pressure on the relationship and on that individual to unpack or to fix you when that's not their responsibility and it's not their job to fix you. And then that's how I think sometimes things fall apart. But, you know, that's just my perspective, and that's just me being a little bit transparent today with sharing the issues that I know I have within myself with the baggages or the luggages that I know I carry. And as I said, I don't think in a way, shape, or form it prevents any of us, whatever our issues are, in having healthy, long-lasting relationship. It's just about you being honest with yourself and with the individual you choose to be in that relationship with. So that's all I wanted. That's what I wanted to say for now when it comes to baggage claim, and to pose the question, you know, are you really emotionally ready to get into another relationship? Because sometimes there's the popular saying that goes, to get over somebody else, you have to get on with somebody else. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think a lot of us need to take time in order to do the self-introspection, the self-examination, and figure out what went wrong in that previous relationship, how you contribute to that relationship probably not working out, and taking responsibility for your actions and the role that you play before you can move on to someone else. Because all you're going to do, as you said, is carry that baggage and that luggage back into the next relationship, that hang up, whatever it is, those preconceived notions, unrealistic expectations, lack of communication, you know, always thinking everything has to be about you, your way or no way, whatever it is. That's, you know, that's pretty much what I wanted to share. If Dee can, you know, take her spin on it and how she views this whole topic of baggage claim and her perspective and stuff like that.
Okay, so, you know, with the issue, since we're being transparent, the issue that everyone has issues as it relates to certain things with a relationship. Your issue could be fear of commitment. It could be abandonment issues. It could be trust issues that you just don't trust anybody. And like Stacey stated, it could stem from childhood experiences. Doesn't necessarily have to come from a experience that you had in another relationship. A lot of times we mask our pain, our hurt, and our emotional issues. We detach it and we decide that we want to hurry up and jump into another situation or relationship in order to get over this past hurt or past pain. And 9 times out of 10, from my experiences with myself and my friends, that never really solves the issue, because you have not addressed the issue. You just moved it and pressed the restart button in a new relationship with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So like Stacey stated about her issue was abandonment. So if you guys who just tuned in, we are talking about baggage claim is the name of today's topic, but we're talking about people who deal with baggages that they've had from the past and how it may impact a healthy, loving relationship that they may be seeking. But Stacey was very transparent and very open with the fact that she suffers with, you know, issues that she has. So one issue that she identified was abandonment, and it stems from being adopted and just her walk through life as a young girl, as a woman, and now as an adult. I am slightly
a little bit opposite. I was not adopted. I was raised by both my mom and my dad, but I too have issues as it relates to abandonment. My mom and dad, they divorced when I was 13, and my story is a little bit different. I've always had men in my life, as far as the men in my life that helped mold me. Like, I had a very, very strong and close relationship with my grandfather. He's probably the closest person on this earth that I ever been close to, or as close. And then my dad, I didn't grow up with daddy issues or with my dad not in my life. However, I experienced a very hard part of my life where when my dad, who has always been there for me, decided that he wasn't going to talk to me anymore at the age of, I believe I might have been 20, maybe 25 or 26. And unlike the women that may have been raised and their dad was here and there and not in their lives, my dad has always been in my life. All of my sporting events, just my proms. He was at every prom that I went to. He was the one who got me my first two or three cars, furnished my first apartment. Like, I had a real good dad. And there was an incident that happened in which, you know, he wanted me to choose between spending Father's Day with him and my daughter and spending Father's Day with my husband and my daughter. And I had did that the first year that she was born. Second year, I said, you know, we can all spend it together. He didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to do it separate. And I decided that that was something I wasn't going to do. And he just stopped talking to me. And he stopped talking to me for about 8 years. Like, I did not hear from my dad, talk to my dad, communicate with my dad for, I believe it was 9 years. I would have nightmares. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, this is somebody that's been in my life for all this time, got mad at me and just stopped talking to me. So as it relates to me moving on and in relationships, my first thing is, the moment I see a sign of resistance, I'm gone like the wind. and it took a while for me to realize that's why I'm quick to leave. And it's just, you automatically, or I wouldn't say you, and you may feel the same way, Stacey, mm-hmm. The moment in which something seems as though someone's pulling away, it's kind of like that flight. What do they call that? The flight theory of, what do they call that? Your body, something, or flight risk or something. I can't even think of the name. Bail or stay. It's an automatic psychological action that
people have. Oh, you go
into
flight mode?
Fight or flight. Yeah, I'm gone.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I do that too sometimes.
And I never really quite understood why I was so quick to leave friendships and to leave relationships. Because like I say, that feeling of rejection. And since then, me and my dad, it's been probably about 3 years that since my dad and I have, got back together as far as, you know, mending our relationships and what have you. But it took me a while. With my divorce, I was married, of course, during that time. He's a great dad. It just didn't work out. The moment I started feeling my spouse kind of pulling away, it didn't take, anybody that knows me and know my story, it didn't take long. I was like, okay, I love you. We've been together for 10, 12 years. I went and filed a divorce quicker than I thought, quicker than anybody that I've known, and moved on. because once you have that feeling, whatever that feeling is, your feeling could be a fear of commitment. Once you start feeling that uneasiness, that I'm uncomfortable and I can change that,
mm-hmm.
you may start doing things that are self-defeating to a conducive relationship. You know, you may find yourself trying to protect yourself because you do have certain baggage that you're carrying and you're not really fixing the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I can date as many people in the world, and then the moment I feel that, and people aren't always going to like you, but the moment I feel a pull, I'm gone. Next, I'll block you real quick and I move on. You know, that's not always the case. I mean, there's some times where I'm just kind of like, okay, man, I really didn't mean to block you. Can we work things out? You know, but for the most part, once it gets to that point, like with me, since you're being transparent, that's my issue. And I feel that once people identify and look at a pattern, I didn't have to look at a pattern of my relationships. I had to go and dig back into my childhood. I was like, well, really wasn't nothing going on in my childhood. Then I had to trigger back and trickle down and say, okay, well, what have I dealt with? Why am I so quick to be like, all right, next? And once you realize what that is, then it's good to try to work on what your issues are and talk things out.
Exactly.
You know, but on the flip side, not only making sure that you are emotionally healthy, make sure that the person you're dealing with is emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that I do know, that I did learn recently, is that you could be emotionally healthy, but there can be some triggers, certain things that can happen that can trigger to make you fall back into that category. And if you're with somebody that's not emotionally healthy, both of you guys are basically fighting an endless war.
Mm-hmm.
If his issue is insecurity and her issue is attention, then that's a train wreck waiting to happen. He's insecure, but she's thirsty for attention. So when she doesn't get the attention from him, she gets attention from guys, which she needs to fuel her need of importance. That attention she's getting for guys is beneficial for her, but then it makes him insecure. So, you know, on the same token, you have to make sure that not only that you're healthy, but pay attention to the signs that the person that you're with, dating or pursuing, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person healthy? Because
right.
An unhealthy person can definitely wreak havoc in your life if you allow them to.
Yeah, you. I agree with you, and everything you said, Dee. I'll just echo it. It's about taking the time to actually get to know that person, and actually doing research and asking the right questions. You know, and sometimes if we just kind of cut back on even the physical. So your judgment is not clouded, and you can actually see who this person really is, and you can see, you know, get to the core of who they are. So that way you can figure out what those baggages are. And I would encourage anyone, don't be afraid to have the conversation or to talk to them about, you know, so what was your childhood like? You know, what is your relationship like with your parents, your sibling? What is, you know, what was the cause of the relationships that you had in the past and why those relationships didn't work? You know, have you forgiven yourself? Have you forgiven that person? Have you dealt with the issues or taken responsibility for the role that you may have played and why the relationship has not worked? Have you taken the time to do any self-examination and, you know, address those issues and just unpacking the baggage? You know, just unpacking the baggage, having that true intimacy, those real conversation is what I would encourage anyone to do, because I try to be as transparent as much as I can with anyone that I even consider to be the likelihood of a possible mate, or, you know, and that's why I like the whole, not idea, but reality of having a friendship first before it even blossom or get to relationship stage because I want to be with somebody that I can be my true self with, or I can talk to you about my issues. As I said, it's not your responsibility to fix me. It's not. And I'm not asking you to fix me. I just want to let you know that they're there. And I, because in the event that you may do something that will trigger something, you know where it comes from. And it's not that I, you know, anyone is being malicious or vindictive or, you know, intentionally trying to hurt each other or whatever it is. You just know what those things are, so you know not to do certain things. So I definitely encourage people to have real conversation and have those conversations too with yourself, even sometime before you decide to get into a relationship. And just talk to each other. Have real open conversation is what I encourage everybody to do in dealing with this. And seek counseling if you need to. I am a big advocate that therapy, counseling, I know that is not promoted a lot, especially amongst people of color, but I endorse it. It works. And I think sometimes we all need somebody to talk to, that objective voice, you know, that voice of reason, whether it's a pastor or, you know, your spiritual father, spiritual mother, whatever it is, just find someone sometime to talk to and that can put a different perspective or spin on things for you or shed a little light on sometimes the issues that you may be carrying. And as we said, it may not stem from relationships. It can stem too from your childhood or you know, people that you have experienced throughout your life, whether family, friends, or whatnot that may have done something to you that has caused that trust in you or that broke something in you. I'm sorry, Dee, go ahead. You're trying to make a point.
No, like I was just agreeing with you. But on the same token, we also have to be very careful who we share.
Yes.
Our issues with.
Right.
I'm 100% with let's have this conversation. We need to have open dialogue. Mm-hmm. We need, but also be very careful because sometimes people will use what they know to also hurt you.
Yes.
So just be very cognizant if this person is a person that you say, you know what, I'm feeling this woman or I'm feeling this guy. If there's certain things that you know that are a major trigger to you, just be aware that everybody, like I said, everybody is not whole. You know, there's some people that are, and I hate the term broken, but I mean, we all have experiences and life experiences that has change the way we perceive people, the way we receive love, and how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, be very careful on, you know, just make sure. And you can't 100% be sure. There's some people that will still cross that line regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know my mom used to tell me, you know, one thing she used to say is don't always be available. Don't be too available. Don't be too common. That was one thing my mom had told me. But she also was like, be very careful in who or what tell a guy that you have experienced in the past as it relates to your other relationships. And I understand. I mean, when she told me that, it just made sense. She was 100% right. Sometimes people think, well, damn, you accepted this. Well,
exactly.
You know, so, and that's the same with women.
Yeah. Yep. No, go ahead. I'm just saying, yeah, because when you're saying it, I'm just thinking of a story that of somebody that I knew years ago, you know, just
uh-huh.
like your mom was saying. And this was like when I was way in my 20s, and I remember she was seeing somebody, and this person happened to be married. But she was one of those people, I have never met anyone like her before. She was a very sweet and genuine person, and this was just the thorn that she had in her life, because we all have something. It just may be to a different degree, but we all have something, and this was hers. But she's one of those people that when you meet her, She'll walk up to strangers, she'll give you a hug, and she'll say, do you love God? Do you know God? And I know it may sound crazy thinking that she's in that situation and she's telling people about God because she really loved God, and she did, but that was her thorn. And I remember one time she said to me after church when we were talking, and she was emotional because she had an argument with him. And he threw in her face the fact that she supposedly is saying, well, he said, you're supposedly a Christian, but you're sleeping with a married man. And this is the man that she's with, the man that she's in love with, you know, that she is that she's sacrificing not just her morals and her value and her fate for. And he, you know, is going to take that in that moment and just threw it in her face just like that. And then he called her a hypocrite. They were having an argument. And that's what he said to her. And I think that was what broke her, is when she realized she had to make a change. And this, you know, relationship, for how long she was in it, is not going anywhere. And this person, that was the day the light went off for her. He was not worth everything she was sacrificing because she was in love with this person. So your mom, and that was when I learned, because my mom used to tell me that too as a teenager, and I never get it, but that was when I understood for the first time when she said, be careful what you share with your mate about, you know, things that you may have probably accepted, or, you know, not sharing too much details about your past relationships too, because sometimes they can use that as a way of hurting you, or to say, well, if you accepted that from that person, then I have a right to do this to you, or right. I can do this or I can do that and get away with it, and it's okay. Or like, well, you forgave that person, so why you can't forgive me, and why you're making a big deal out of me doing this when you did that in the past.
When you accepted it. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I had a situation. People call situations then. I had a relationship after my divorce with just the perfect guy. Obviously it didn't work out, but it was towards the end of the relationship. We had gotten to a disagreement, an argument, and for those of you that know me, I don't like arguing. It drains me. Like, I'll argue a point at work all day long. If it's business, you know, I can do that, you know, I'm working. But in a relationship, that should be peace. But anyway, I had an argument, and he threw up something about my divorce. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that, not only that changed the course of that relationship, and I left probably about a week later. Like, I ended it a week later. Because for the most part, you know, there's that line you don't cross,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, you just got to be, you have to be open. You have to be willing to be open, but also be careful with what you share. Make sure you're sharing it with somebody that cares enough not to throw that in your face.
Uh-huh.
You know, could be, you know, someone saying, well, that's why your dad stopped talking to you for 10 years because of your attitude, or... That's
yes.
why your marriage didn't work out. You know, sometimes people will hit beneath the belt.
Yes.
And you have to be whole enough. So before you even get into a relationship,
mm-hmm.
just like Stacey stated, work on yourself. Be whole enough to where if you are in a situation, you can, number one, identify triggers are, as Stacey stated, or called them. And then, so once you identify what those are, you can recognize those pattern, because a lot of times we do tend to repeat the cycle of dating the same type of man, the same type of woman. You know, a lot of times we attract the same type of people. Once we can identify before, like Stacey says, don't get intimate. If we can identify some of these points, regardless, we can step beyond the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too turned in to where we're just ignoring some of the signs. You ignore the signs, you're just basically setting yourself up for another casualty, in my mind. If you see that there's some signs and some triggers of this woman that's kind of borderline, you may want to reserve yourself. You may want to step out of the situation to because you can see those red flags going off because you've taken the time to do an assessment on yourself. You can identify what was healthy of the past relationship and what was not healthy of your past relationship. And then take responsibility of the things that you may have contributed to your past relationships and try not to repeat that cycle.
Exactly. And, you know, as in just listening to you, Dee, talk about, you know, the past and the triggers and the hurts, it reminds me of, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm a person of faith. You know, I absolutely love my creator. I love everything that it is having to do with who I am spiritually. It reminds me of two passages of scripture. And I'm going to try to quote it off the top of my head here, is Proverbs 14 and 10, I believe. It says, "The heart knoweth its own bitterness." And the other one is 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 that said, "The bitterness of the soul often arises from outward troubles." And you know, those scriptures actually helped me a lot in my healing process because nobody knows the pain that your heart carries except for you. We can talk all day long and we can empathize with you and we can hold your hand and we can say we understand to a degree, but really and truly, you know, when God told us that nobody, the heart knows it's its own bitterness, it's him telling you that nobody knows your heart better than you, apart from him. So, you know, in us having to actually deal with our heart and whatever those issues are and things that are on the inside of us, we really just have to deal with it and don't give that responsibility to anyone else but you and to him to help you to fix it and to heal you and for you to deal with those things head on. And be as honest with yourself, you know, cry whatever you have to do, scream, you know, Don't break the house down, but, you know, if you have to throw a couple of glass against the wall, I suggest you do it too. Whatever you have to do to deal with those things because it's going to make you better, it's going to make you healthy, it's going to make you whole in order to have that loving, lasting relationship, that good relationship that we all deserve, and is all, I think, is entitled to that happiness. And as Dee talk about that person throwing that thing up in your face, you know, to me, relationships or true love, and it doesn't make them bad people because we're all humans, we're all flawed, you know, and none of us here, neither myself or Dee, we're not on our soapbox because we're human and we have our issues as well. But love to me, genuine love, and that's sometimes too how you know if these are the right people or that is the right one, because love is supposed to be patient. Love is not supposed to be boastful. Love is not supposed to be anger. It's not supposed to be, you know, bitterness and all of that type of stuff. So if that person really loves and protects you and genuinely wants to protect your heart and your emotion and everything, that's not something that you do, especially you know that their hurt comes with that. So for you to even bring it up or throw it at the other person. And I know they said when you're having arguments, there's no fighting fair or people don't fight fair or whatever it is. But I think sometimes that's how you kind of know, too, how well that person is protecting your heart or how well that person is going to be good at protecting you. It brought me back to, you saw the clip that went viral this week. I'm pretty sure you saw it with Megan Good and Devin Franklin. You see the way how he protected her when that woman came for her? Not that I agree with what he said, because I still have an issue with what he said. However, I love the fact that he protected her, had his wife, and didn't let anybody come for her. You know, if he's going to address it with her in private as your wife, but in public, he makes sure he set the tone. You're not going to come for her. Or you're not going to attack her, especially not while I'm sitting here, because this is, you know, this is mine. You know, God gave me this, and I'm going to protect this with everything that I got. And that's why I shared it, because I absolutely love, absolutely, with that whole, the clip, and that went viral. So
For those of you that don't know, Devon Franklin is an author, a producer, preacher, and a motivational speaker. He was with Sony Pictures Entertainment. He ended up marrying actress Megan Good, who was recently criticized or has been criticized about her revealing clothing. And so they were at, it was Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh. They were at the one church in L.A.
They were speaking and they were promoting the book that they have called The Wait. And they waited until they were married to actually have sex. So they're doing this tour all over, and there was an audience member who stood up. She was mumbling over her words. I guess they were taking questions from the audience. And she threw a cheap shot at his wife. And the way he defended his wife, he was, in my opinion, he was respectful.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, you know, but he immediately took care and protected his wife. For those of you, if you see the clip, a couple of times, Megan Good, and she's sitting there, they are on a set stage, and this is kind of like a talk show setup, but you have people in the audience.
Yes.
And so she pulls the mic up to her mouth a couple of times, her own mic, and she doesn't really say anything until the end. But he basically said, this is not what we're here for. He stood up for his wife. He said she's, and a woman chastised her for what she was wearing. She's like, she's going to wear what she wants to wear. And these are that's the type of person that we all want. We want to feel safe and protected. The same for a man. He wants to know that his woman has his back just as much as us women want the same for the men that we're with. But, the way he protected her,
mm-hmm.
lets you know, and it shows how much you do, that person loves you and cares for you.
Exactly.
And that was obvious. I mean, she got a little bit emotional. Apparently, yes. That's something that she'd been struggling with.
Yes, it is, because she said that she has specific, her response was that she has specific reasons or answer to that question, but she for her to address it, she's not going to address it now. And I can tell the way she got emotional is the fact that she probably have never had anyone protected her like that before. Because she has shared a little bit about her relationship in the past before him and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, as I said, I necessarily didn't, he was very respectful to the way how he responded to the woman. I shared the video because of the way how he protected her. I do myself have a little bit of issue with what he said, but I shared it because that's how you genuinely love somebody. You know, if you have an issue with something, you address that with her privately or him privately. But if in public, especially in their presence, for man and woman, husband and wife, that protection, I think, is necessary. It is needed. So you're setting the tone for people outside of your relationship that this is a guarded union. This is a cage union. You know, not everybody's going to get a chance to come into this circle or enter into this gate and ruin this because of your preconceived notions or your judgments or however you think we should live. You know, because I'm pretty sure, as he said, the one of the struggles he had in the relationship for people who did not watch the entire tape, it's over an hour, it's almost 2 hours long. You missed the part where he talked about in the relationship, the thing that he's struggling with is letting her and allowing her to be her own individual person. And he had to understand that even though he was called to ministry, she was not called to ministry, but it doesn't mean that she is not qualified to be his wife, because he had to struggle with God with that when God told him or choose her for him. So, you know, people miss that other entire part of the panel discussion that they were having. So you can see that it's something that I guess they've already dealt with or addressed, but he's allowing her to grow and I'm just taking a lot of things from what he said before. The woman asked that question, which if she was listening, she would have realized he kind of addressed what she was trying to throw at her, because he said he had to allow her to be her own individual person and realize he had to let her grow, too, in a lot of ways in their relationship to be who she's supposed to become. And that's what he was there for, is to love her and to be her husband. And that's why, you know, because I think sometimes God puts different people in our lives based on what we need. And she's probably just the man that he needs to turn her into the woman that God ordained her to be. And vice versa, she's just the woman that he needs. Because he had, for years, the man has been celibate for 10 years and refused to date anybody in Hollywood. So sometimes God has to give us broken people in order for him to teach us how to truly love. And maybe that's what their union is about. So, you know, I would suggest the lady go back and watch the whole. Well, she was sitting in the audience, but I guess she missed all that.
My problem was, and we're going to get right back on the top, my problem was that was not the form for it. She tried to teach that. We're going to dress up, all right? Like, you ain't nobody's mama.
Yeah, so, and she said, you're going to cover up, right? The way she asked her, like, you know, like when you go to a family picnic and the aunt pointing her finger at you. It's something like that.
So, I mean, with our show, we never just throw out topics without giving you solutions and things to look for and things to consider. So, of course, we talked about, you know, baggage. Obviously, everyone kind of knows what baggage is, but we went into emotional baggage, where it can possibly come from, as well as how it has impacted Stacy as well as myself. We have similar issues that we deal with from different childhood backgrounds, but we definitely have similarities in the same issue as it relates to trying to leave before I get left type of I'm the block queen, you know. And that is, a lot of times when we do those types of things, it's a self-defeating, regardless of what your issue is, if it's insecurity, it's a self-defeating action, and it does not help you grow, and it does not allow you to accept the love that someone may be genuinely trying to give you. It just hurts the whole idea of being open and free. And once we identify what those things are, then we can go into relationships better equipped to handle our own issues when we feel those anxieties come. There's an article. There's quite a few articles. eHarmony, all you have to do is Google emotional baggage or relationship baggage. And there's a lot of great articles out there. There's one article by Sheila Warnke on the Tiny Buddha blog. Tiny Buddha blog. And they have some pretty good posts on here. But one in particular by Sheila is 5 Steps to Deal with Emotional Baggage So It Does Not Define You. Number one is, she suggests, and I'm assuming it's a woman, she basically suggests that these 5 things can help, and I somewhat agree. Number one is to write down an honest list of the thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that weigh you down. So basically, write down what are those self-defeating thoughts that you have, reoccurring thoughts that completely weighs you down, things that maybe give you a little bit of anxiety as it relates to relationships. The second one is to, now that you have them on paper, travel back in time and reflect on each item and identify what the source is for that thought or that belief. You know, in my case, my thing is, I always look at it as, I'm going to have one up on you type of.
I'm not going to compete. So you're a tad for tit person?
No,
okay.
No, it's still that I'm going to leave before you leave. I'm not a tit-for-tat person.
Okay.
So maybe that probably wasn't the right phrase, but, you know, I'm going to leave before you leave.
Okay.
So then you have to look back.
So, like, I'm going to exit before you even get an opportunity to hurt me.
Right. I'm going to be gone. Once I start feeling the fire, I'm out of there. So that's one of my thoughts and beliefs. And what is yours? Like, if you had a number one that you wrote down on the list, what would yours be?
Number one would be that inconsistency, because that's that for me triggers the abandonment. Like, if you tell me that you're going to do something and you don't do it, you know, you're going to call and you don't call, or you're supposed to show up, or we make plans and you change it. Those for me are like triggers. You know, those are my triggers, and that's why I am big on consistency and the communication. Because if I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. That's because that's just me. Because I never want anybody to feel that way. That's stuff like that has made me feel. And as I said, it stems from that. I know where it comes from. Okay. You know.
So number one is the consistency. Number one is for you. For me, the moment I feel something it's pulling away. That's my number one on my list. That's the number one on your list. So number two on this project is to reflect on how each item and identify the source of that thought or belief. So she says, basically, travel back in time and see where you picked up these items of baggage. I picked that up from me being comfortable knowing my dad is always going to be there, and then, you know, just out the blue in my mid-20s, my dad got mad at me, and he left my life. So that stems back from my relationship with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so number two on this, your issue of the inconsistency, stem back from childhood, or would that stem back from relationship issues that you had where people did not follow through?
No, all of my issues really stem from my childhood, because of that, I have really not allowed myself to have had that many relationships where I can say that I'm a bitter person. I am not. I'm not a bitter woman. I'm not resentful. I'm not angry, because I've not allowed myself to stick around in relationship to get to that point. Because the moment something looks to me like you are going to abandon or reject me, then like you, I go into flight mode. You know, I have just a carry-on. I know a lot of people that has two suitcases and a whole bunch of stuff. For me, it's just a little carry-on. So I take my little carry-on and I'm gone. You know, I don't need to go to baggage claim and hang out for 25 minutes and wait for that thing to come around in the carousel now and pick up four or five bags. I'm gone. You know, you say you're going to call me back and you don't call back, and a couple of days pass back, and then you send me a text message with some crappy excuses. Oh, you block. I'm like, I don't even block. I delete you completely from my phone. You're gone. Yeah, and then you just take my little carry-on and move on. I don't need to wait.
I got a carry-on too, but everybody's carry-on got a different size. My carry-on is pretty big.
My carry-on is very small. Believe it. It's very small. It holds in the overhead bin. They don't need to check it because there's different size carry-on. It goes everywhere. As I said, he goes into flight mode. I go into flight mode, but I'm not going to baggage claim to go pick up three and four bags. I'm going with my carry-on because that for me, it does something to me. That lack of inconsistency and you not honoring your word, that is a reminder of me of when people say, I'm going to do this. Or I remember, you know, when my mom promised me, because it's not like I didn't know my biological parents. It's one thing when you were adopted as a child and you had no connection with your parents at all. But I had a relationship with my mother. I was with her until I was four. And I remember as a child, always feel like she was just looking for the next person to get rid of me. And there was a one vivid memory I had when I told her that not to give me away, and she said she was not. So that's where the consistency comes from with me. And she said she wouldn't. And then the next thing I know, I was being packed up and being shipped off. You know, so she lied. And then she went missing. there, you know, it's not like I'm in another country. I live in the same country with her, but I never saw her, never don't know anything about her. She got married. I wasn't even a part of her wedding. It's like you as a child never existed, and I was the only child she had. She didn't have 20 kids. She had one. So for me, not feeling like I am the number one priority or I am the person, you know, and I'm not conceited. Do you know me? I'm not conceited or anything of that, any stretch of the imagination or nothing like that. I'm just saying, there is a certain level whenever you decide that this is the person you choose that I think needs to happen. I need to feel like somewhere in your life I am a priority. Somewhere in your life I matter over foolishness. You know, enough, and I need to feel like you consider me or my thoughts or feelings because I do the same for you. You know, there need to be some reciprocity going on. So that's my trigger. Yeah, that's a lot of information, I know, but that's it.
Well, I mean, it's good because, you know, someone listening may completely resonate with what you're saying. So number 3 of 5, it says, find at least one positive in each hurtful experience or situation. It says, look for, let me elaborate, because I'm thinking, how can you really find something positive as it relates to things that triggers an issue that has a negative impact on the rest of your life when it comes to interpersonal relationships? So the author basically says, look for the silver lining in your cloud. For example, she was criticized by her dad. She says, her father's criticism made her aware of the power of words and taught her the importance of speaking with kindness. Look for the good in the past and helps you reclaim your power. You are no longer the victim. You decide what you take from that experience. So when she twisted that way, mm-hmm. number one, you write down your list of thoughts and beliefs that weighs you down. Mine is abandonment. Mm-hmm. Number two, you reflect on how each identity and the source of that belief. That came from my dad being in my life for all those years and then getting mad at me when I was in my mid-20s and stopped talking to me for almost 10 years. That was my number two. My number three, finally, is one positive in each hurtful experience or situation. So the positive that I can take out of that is that I feel as a friend, And as a friend, I realized how important it is to be there for my friends. I take my commitment very strong. My commitment to my kids is strong. It's not a forced commitment. It means so much to me. And I just naturally, since it's important to me, I naturally try to reciprocate that with anybody that I deal with. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
You're right.
Unless I cannot, and if I can't do it, I feel horrible because I know how important those things, your word is to me, and that's how I am to the next person. And abandonment issues as it relates to, you know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I really haven't had too much in the terms of people not doing what they're saying they're going to do. I just don't want to be left and blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my issue, was being blindsided by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily dealing in relationships with men, not calling like they say, or not coming, or not doing what they're supposed to. You know, it's just that I'm looking out and I have my one eye open, waiting on a fairy tale to disappear or for me to wake up. So I guess the positive thing that I can say that I have learned is to try to make the person that I'm with in a relationship feel comfortable, because that's important to me. I try to, even though I can't guarantee it, I try to say, hey, let that person know I'm here for them so that they can then return that favor to me and hope that they, you know, because that's important to me. So I try to
mm-hmm.
give what's most important to me. So I guess I can look at that as the importance. Just make sure I'm about my word and try to share as an example so I'm not blindsided.
Right. So basically, what I get from it, she's basically echoing a lot of what we talked about earlier in the show when I was talking about you measuring your assets versus your liability. Well, that's how I've always looked at it over the years. I had to learn to look at the assets that, you know, that I've learned or that I got out of the asset of my life that came from all of those liability that makes me better. And I have to say that me being a dependable, you know, a reliable, a consistent person, and I pride myself in those, it stemmed from all of that because I never want to let anyone feel the way I felt or to, you know, to put people in that position. So that's just who I am by nature, too, I guess, and character-wise. So that would be pretty much, she will use it different, word it differently, but that's how I have measured mine over the years, is my the assets versus my liability, the assets that I have gotten from those liabilities in my life. And so I'm with D where, you know, we're pretty much kind of the same people. She knows me. If I, you know, unless something dire comes up and I can't do it, but I'm going to let you know in advance that I can't do this and even try to help figure out a way to get it done or get somebody else to help you. But I am, you know, try to be a person of my word and to get things done because I don't want anybody to feel like the way sometimes I know I feel because of that issue.
So number four, they state, four or five, create affirmations to foster change and counteract negative thoughts. So create affirmations to foster change and counteract negative thoughts. Now, to counteract a negative thought, that's easier said than done. But if you keep positive affirmations in your mind, ward those things off. No, you should always put an emphasis, and it's according to, let me tell you, she says always put an emphasis on the positive future and behavior that frees you from your past. She goes on to say, make tangible affirmations. Put a reminder on your phone, write them out on post, or list them on the fridge. And that is so true. Sometimes we negative talk to ourselves, talk ourselves down subconsciously. And that's just kind of like nature. Like I got pulled over by the cops. I was like, damn it. You know, like, mm-hmm. It was stupid of me to just go through that light. I knew I shouldn't have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, but you can't continue to beat yourself up over what has happened in the past. So number four, create affirmations to foster change. And I believe that in exchange will counteract the negative thoughts. And number five, which is very important, practice patience and mindfulness. Practice patience and mindfulness, which I agree. You have to be patient with yourself because mm-hmm. those issues that you have experienced was built up over a period of time. For those who may be suffering from insecurity, it may be that it wasn't a childhood. Maybe you grew up in a wonderful childhood, and then maybe you were with a woman who made you feel like you was less of a man, that made you start to doubt who you are, and that could have built some type of insecurity. Or maybe you were a woman who was with a guy who was the womanizer, who you kept on always finding out that he was cheating. And it made you become very insecure of who you are as a woman. Abandonment issues is very high on the list as far as baggage that people carry. Commitment. You have people that when things get too serious, they can't handle what they feel or perceive to be a major responsibility, and they leave the relationship because they fear accepting love that they never had before. They also may fear the responsibility that comes with a relationship. I mean, you have, you know, people that are afraid to get attachment issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everyone has their own particular type of issues that, you know, once you identify those issues, you have to determine where that came from, figure out how it is impacting you, create positive thoughts to ward off the negative ideas that you may have, and then number five, basically practice patience and mindfulness. Realize that those issues come up and spring up overnight. It did not just come out of the blue. It took time before it started really rubbing at your inner core. A lot of people may have missed out on Mr. Right or Mrs. Right because they're carrying that baggage into their next relationship. And no one wants to be compared to the past. No one wants to be, well, my last girlfriend, well, you sound like Peter. Well, I this seems familiar. Or I know how all you women are, you know, or all you men are the same. Are you sure you're going to call back? Well, I'll see. You know, just the negative. You have your patience and positive affirmations. If that person disappoints you, because all it turns in is to disappointment, whatever it is. If that person disappoints you, if you're whole enough, it may become, it may be disappointing. It may have you down a little bit, but you got to roll on and move on and realize, you know what? This is probably not the person for me. So you like they, so you don't be picking up a whole bunch of that and taking it to your next destination.
Yeah, because, you know, everything that we discussed or everything that we said both between me and Dee, we pretty much are on the same page in agreement with the different things. And guys, for anyone that are listening, just know that as human beings, we're not perfect. And we are going to make mistakes, and people are going to disappoint you because, you know, we're human. But at the same time, as I said, learn your triggers. Take the time to figure out what those triggers are and to, you know, be very cognizant of what those things are and look for the signs to what is going to trigger those things within you. And if you find that sometimes it's all in your head too, because sometimes we make up things in our head that never really happened, be honest about it too. You know, if you are actually looking for something that never even happened or you made it all up in your imagination, you dreamed it up, you have to be honest about that too before you make your final decision. But if you know it's honestly there, address it and just deal with the situation head on or with that person and let them know this is what it is and that's what it is and I don't like this and this does this to me. So before we get to a point where I'm resenting you, you're resenting me, and we're going to harbor issues between us and we get into fights and quarrel, I think it's best we just move on or we're not fit for each other. Or if you can work it out and you guys can decide that I can help you unpack your baggage, you can help me unpack yours, and we can go to counseling, we can love each other through this, we can be patient with each other, then I'm all for it. Go, you know, God bless you both, and go on with your union. But that would be my advice, is to tackle it head on. But you first have to decide if this is the person, though, that is worth the sacrifice, and if this is the person that is for you, that is made for you, that is meant for you to go through with this journey with, or to help you deal with those things, if you weren't already in the process of dealing with them and handling them and educating yourself about your issues and how to better deal with them and be with someone, regardless of the fact that you know you have these insecurities, whatever they are. Emotional, depression, fear, rejection, guilt, shame, whatever it is. So that would be my advice, and I would probably endorse you actually tackling those things before you get into a relationship with someone else. Because, as I said, we sometimes unknowingly too carry our luggages into the relationship and expecting that person to fix us or to unpack us or to put us together when that's not their responsibility, nor is it their job.
That's right. So I said today's show, and we're actually drawing to a close here.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So, like, today we're actually drawing. Could you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
I kind of paused.
No, I was waiting for you to finish your point. You were saying that today we're, you know, today's topic is baggage claim. And do we really examine ourselves and the baggages that we may have before we enter into new relationship as men and women, and taking these luggages and these baggages into the next relationship before we get there? So, you know, and all those points that Dee made, those 5 points, are key. We both agree those they're top points. They kind of echoed what we were already saying throughout the show. So I would suggest for anyone that's listening that you go through those 5 steps. You know, you turn the mirror on yourself. So you do that self-examination. You go back into your data. You do your research and you figure out where the root cause is. Where did this come from? Why does this make me feel this way? You know, where did it start? And then once you have identified that, then you can tackle, you know, and just embrace the emotion. Embrace the anger. Embrace the fear. Embrace all the emotions that you're going to feel, because you're going to feel a lot of emotion during that process. And I'm only telling you because I know, because I have had to take the mask off and deal with my own issues. So everything that you're going to feel, you have to embrace it in order to heal. And once you do that, then you can move on to identifying the triggers. So that's where you know what these things are. You can look for them when you enter into relationships, or you're into, you know, friendships, even friendships with people. And they may do things too. It's not just men and women relationship here in like an intimate setting. It can also be relationship with friends, business partners, co-workers, whatever it is. Those triggers shows up into all aspects of our life, and you just have to know what they are and try and handle them the best way possible and put them into perspective before you make harsh, rash decision of your exit. So I'm still working on that part of me, because I'm still quick to take my carry-on and go. So, you know, I'm a work in progress. I'm still working on that. But anyway, I digress. So that's my point for the closing of the show. So I'll let Dee give hers. And, you know, again, we thank you very much for your support, for always tuning in, for staying with us. You know, we're well over 6 months, and, you know, God has been good to us, continue to bless us. And we thank you guys. We love you and appreciate you, and continue to support and follow the show. And that's all I have for you for today. And Dee, I don't know if you have any other points that you want to throw out there or say before we come to a close of today's show, which is baggage claim.
No, that's pretty much it. Unlock, get that key, that zip, all that crap. Put your luggage away. I don't care what that luggage is wrapped in. Doesn't matter if it's a Louis suitcase or whatever.
Yep.
Throw it away and,
yep,
and travel lightly. Don't,
yep,
jump into the next destination,
yep,
with yesterday's clothes.
Right. That's a great point, Dee. You come in all pretty baggages, Louis Vuitton, Coach, you know, whatever it is, come in all packages. It may look pretty, but once you unpack it, ooh, something else. So, you know, for men and women, just be careful. Just be careful, guys, and try to make the best decision there is possible. Try to have open communication and an honest dialogue, and, you know, build that friendship first so you can actually get a better understanding of who each other is before you get clouded with all the other emotional stuff that comes from physical relationships before you become emotionally attached. So that would be our advice. And, again, get out. The sun is about to come out, I think. So enjoy you guys Saturday. We will see you next week. Follow us on social media. Everything is the same. Tea Talk Time for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like our page, share our segment, and check out our blog on our website too. It's www.teatalktime.com. And again, to my beautiful co-host, thank you very much. I love and thank you for your love and support. I love and support you. And yeah, I just thank God for the friendship, the union, and everything. And I think that's it. And we are out.
And we're out. Have a good one, everybody.
All right. Bye. Mm-hmm.